I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seem to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm your host, Jack Rathbone, and joined as always by Grant James and Will Dubay. We've had a little bit of a hiatus over December and over the holidays, but we're back now and we're hoping maybe it coincides with a new run of form, because since we've been away, it's been a tough time for the Lampard side. Some poor results recently, coinciding with a disaster on Boxing Day against Arsenal, obviously, and a slightly better performance, but not really the sort of result that is needed to stop the rot, really. A one-all draw with Aston Villa, and coming up, we've got games against Manchester City, Morecambe in the FA Cup. But we're going to keep it general to kick it off, and I'll start with you, Grant. We're discussing, obviously, the period since we've been away, and obviously, it's quite an alarming drop-off. What do you think has gone wrong, really, for Lampard, and how do you think he can maybe solve this over the next week or two?
Yeah, the last podcast we did was the Spurs non-all draw, and we didn't actually know at the time whether that was a good or bad result. And then since then we beat Leeds at home, actually went top of the log. That was in December, the 5th of December. So it's kind of remarkable how much things can change in 3 weeks. Of course, the hope is that in the next 3 weeks, things will swing back and things will look a lot more rosy. Also, with the Premier League table at the moment, it's really hard to gauge where we sit because of the difference in the matches played. It seems like practically everything's gone wrong since then, though, with the manner of the defeats, not just the results, because in general, Everton and Wolves away are tough games. And of course, generally, Arsenal would be a tough game. But obviously, with their run of form, it made it just so disappointing. I think there's so many things to consider. We're going to have to take probably 40 minutes to get through everything. But if you consider before the long unbeaten run, I think it was 8 clean sheets in 12 matches before this run hit. It's really difficult and baffling to find the solution. I think there's some element that the players are struggling physically. Of course, all clubs are playing very demanding schedules, but Lampard hasn't rotated a great deal this season. I think some players have been overplayed. In general, he's managed the squad relatively well, I think, but one or two guys, maybe the likes of Chilwell and Werner, I think were overplayed at one point just because we didn't have a great deal of depth on the flanks, in forward areas, and at left back. Obviously, the alternatives aren't particularly trusted. So I think that's one element of it. And we saw that last season as well. The club had a really poor spell from late November until probably pretty much up to the Man United home defeat, which I believe was in February. And COVID sort of came at the right time in terms of allowing players to recover and helping us finish in the Champions League spots. So I think that's definitely one element of it. I think probably our shape's probably been figured out slightly as well. Obviously, we called for the 4-3-3 for such a long time. And it immediately, as soon as Lampard listened to our calls, we had a brilliant run of form. I think obviously that's been figured out slightly with teams setting up to actually stop that. Spurs and Arsenal in particular, actually having the midfielders play quite wide and deep to sort of cover the half spaces where our 10s have been operating. So I think that's part of it as well. I think obviously Lampard's made a fair number of mistakes, and the buck will always stop with him on the results. So I'm sure we're going to delve into those in more depth. But I think if he'd beaten Villa in the week, things would have looked more rosy. So I think there's some criticism even of that team selection. I think particularly leaving out Zuma, because when you change both centre-backs and you're always going to disrupt the back line. And I think we can see how much Zuma is important to what we do in both boxes, actually defending crosses and attacking corners. When we had about a dozen corners against Villa, pretty much not threatening a great deal from any of them. So it's so multifaceted. I think we could probably do a 2 or 3 hour therapy podcast and still not really come up with all the solutions or even identify all the problems.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a couple of things you touch on, which I'd like to bring Will in and get his views on. Firstly, the shape. I think is Lampard wedded to this system too much? Does he need to reconsider? I mean, we've spoken about Timo Werner struggling from wide. I mean, in my opinion, he's just not a winger. I think he can play from there, but you wouldn't expect him to contribute a great deal in terms of defensively. And I think the two-pronged attack would suit him more. But I mean, does that really get the best out of everybody else? I'm not too sure. And then you look at the way the table is sat right now. As we record, Chelsea 26 points in sixth place. I mean, it's quite confusing with the games in hand for a lot of teams. But Chelsea, obviously, 26 points. And if you generously gift Manchester United, Liverpool, City, if you give them the points, then Liverpool would be 9 points clear of Chelsea, United and City 6 points clear. Spurs, if they won a game in hand, they'd be 3 points clear alongside Leicester. So, I mean, quite bunched up there. So I don't think it's quite the disaster that maybe some are feeling it is. But Will, what do you think about the players as well? I think Grant touched on some of the options which have been either badly lacking in form. I mean, there's been some absentees. I think we're heavily reliant on Chilwell at left back. I think he's been an absolutely phenomenal signing. Just the way he plays the position, it's so sound, in my opinion, the way he's neat and tidy on the ball, but then he will get forward. And I think he does so in a pretty risk-free fashion, unlike a lot of the modern fullbacks out there. The way he defends his back post too. I think you mentioned that, Grant, the way that he ties in with this run of clean sheets. I think Pulisic is starting to spark a little bit, but he feels like he's a slightly different player to the one which finished the end of a sort of truncated season last year. And then obviously the absence of Ziyech, I think how badly he's being missed, I think depends on how much you consider or how much you value the other players. But in my opinion, he just is something totally different, and he opens everything out. He gives them a much more balanced look to this team. So, yeah, what do you think, Will, in terms of the players coming in and out? Grant mentioned rotation. How do you think that has impacted the way Lampard has sort of lost control a little bit? And also touch on how I mentioned the table. Is it as much of a disaster as we've perhaps felt around the Chelsea community?
Yeah, I think Grant touched on some important points. I think we've definitely missed Ziyech. I think in the last few games, teams have set up to protect against our 4-3-3, those half spaces, you know, they're sort of clogging up those areas. Aston Villa did it really well with McGinn and Douglas Luiz, just screening the back four, shuttling across, really energetic. And I think ZX always a little bit of a unpredictable kind of can come up with something, a little bit like how we've seen Man United in a lot of games. You know, it seems like they've been lucky in games because Bruno Fernandes can come up with something, get a deflection, get into the box, get a penalty, just something that's a little bit unpredictable and looks a bit messy, but it gets you the points. I think Ziyech is a player capable of doing that. So I think it's also led to us sticking with Giroud. I think in a way, those four goals that he scored in the Champions League made him, you know, undroppable. Lampard was kind of forced to pick him, as well as Giroud's done individually, and I think he's he's done really well for Chelsea in his spell. But I do think we're a much better side with Tammy in the side. Obviously, we've had to rotate the team a little bit. Obviously, Tammy can't play every single game, but I just think that the team plays to Giroud. And I think part of the reason is because of those four goals he's been put into the side. But also, I think teams are kind of clogging up those half spaces so much that we're forced to just cross the ball a lot. So Giroud is probably, you know, definitely the better option if we're just putting in crosses from not particularly good areas. But I think it affects our ability to control games. I think Tammy allows us to kind of press a little higher, win the ball back, press from the front. Giroud, you're very limited in the way you can play. You're not as dangerous on the counter-attack when you are set back in shape. and you know Tammy can run in behind off the last shoulder, and you can't press from the front in the same way at the start of matches. So I think that's been a little bit of a effect on the team, and maybe part of the reason why we've struggled in the last few games. Like I said, Ziyech being out, not enough rotation, which Grant touched on, I think, which was a little bit of a strange one, because I think when we did see mass rotation against Sevilla, obviously Champions League isn't the same style of football as the Premier League, but that was a really positive performance. And I think it was a night where a lot of squad players came in and did well. So I would have liked to see a little bit more rotation. I think the fullbacks were kind of, that both started against Arsenal, they didn't look right. Chilwell looked a little better, but you could see James wasn't fit. And it, you know, turns out he definitely wasn't fit, because he missed the last game and he'd looked a shadow of himself. So I think a little bit more rotation over the Christmas period would have seen us try and maintain a little bit more control in the games, just because you can press with a little bit more intensity. And you know, I think Timo Werner's become, you know, a big problem, just because his form has just got progressively worse and worse. He's losing confidence game to game. Finally been taken out, and I think we saw Callum come in the last couple of games, and he's done really well, looked really sharp. You know, he's not a turnover machine like Werner has been. And it's, you know, it has got to the point where I said to you guys, it's probably a bit harsh, but he doesn't look like a professional footballer of this level. And I think a large part of that is confidence. You can just see his confidence is on the floor. But he's been in the side for too long. I think he was getting picked because of the signing and obviously the threat that he carries late into games with his pace, you know, still getting chances. But I'm not really so much talking about the missing of the chances here. It's just this general all-round game is so poor, and it breaks down so much with him that we've finally seen Callum start games. But I think we can obviously open this up and discuss it in more depth. But I think for me, Werner is a big problem, and it's one that Frank's going to have to sort of address. Obviously, Abramovich will want to see these key guys who he's spent a lot of money on start. I've got no worries about Havertz. I think it's a slower adaptation period, but it's one that I don't know whether Roman's going to have the sort of patience to see him, you know, be on the bench in the coming weeks. But I've no doubts about Havertz. I think he's shown more than enough. It's just he had COVID and things like that. But Werner is a serious worry. I don't know what you guys kind of what your views are on Werner, but I'm very worried that this is a key time for him, and he needs to sort of come through it, rebuild his confidence from the bench, and hopefully become a player that we can rely on.
Yeah, briefly before we touch on the sort of the big hitters which are potentially missing out and not being selected, and without the results that will heighten the pressure from above on Lampard. I think you're right about Giroud. I think without boring the listeners on American football, I think there's a very similar situation with the Miami Dolphins at the moment, and it looks like Giroud is almost like a relief striker, in terms of you want to bring him on when things don't quite go right, but when he performs so well, it compromises the plan and the evolution of the team a little bit, in my opinion. And that is sort of, I mean, obviously his goals were important to some good results, but I think it has sort of slowed down the progression and the way this team has evolved a little bit. Likewise, the team obviously is a little bit off the pace, but I mean, it still continues to be loved by the analytics community. I think XG and expected points has Chelsea even top of the league and under stat. So take about what you will. I think you're right. I think you see Chelsea gaining a lot of sort of dangerous areas, dangerous chances. But then a lot of teams can clog up the spaces and they can soak up large spells of pressure. I think we mentioned Villa before. I think absolutely excellent. And McGinn, one of the best at doing that, one of the best at sort of reacting to the way Chelsea are moving the ball. And I think you're right about the crosses. I think it's just too much. I think you've seen without Ziyech, without Callum for a little bit until he was forced to come back into the team under Lampard. There's just a lack of variety in terms of the way Chelsea are moving the ball right now. And when Callum did come in, I think he was so terrified about not impressing and grasping his chance. Initially, he's very neat and tidy and moving the ball back towards Reece James, 1-2s here and there. But I think gradually you've seen him, with everybody else sort of failing to step up, you've seen him start to sort of take people on, start to take chances. And I think at some point you need that variety in the team, whether it's Ziyech and one touch and playing a high risk through ball, whether it's the ability of Tammy to occupy defenders and spin off. I think you're going to need to have a bit more of a variety in that front four. But importantly, like you said, Will, Werner and Havertz, how do you think, Grant, how do you think they are integrated? And is there a risk, if you look at the results coming up, is there a risk that if he doesn't integrate them and the results don't change, that Lampard could be under serious threat? Because you've got a Man City game coming up, which may or may not take place. And then shortly after the Fulham game, you've got Leicester away. And then you've got Wolves. So Wolves obviously not held Chelsea. They completed the comeback and beat Chelsea recently. So a tough run of fixtures. And do you see him taking a massive risk on his future if he doesn't appease the ownership with these star players showing signs that they can justify their massive transfer fees?
Just quickly before you start, Grant, I think just quickly on Werner, I mean, you could see it. We were a lot better with the areas we were getting the ball into when Pulisic was playing on the left against Villa. We were releasing Chilwell into good areas on the overlap, receiving the ball on the move. I think so much of when Werner was playing, players were giving it to him. He's constantly showing for the ball, running on top of players to receive it. He can't turn with the ball. He can't get it out of his feet with the first touch. Consequently, no one's moving off the ball to receive anything from him because they're just assuming it's going to break down. So I think you saw... I think the best part of our team is Pulisic, Chilwell and Mount on that left-hand side, combining, releasing Chilwell into good areas. And I think you could just see immediately the impact it had on the team, just taking Werner out of the side. But I'd interject on that.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, Will. I mean, Callum and Werner couldn't really be more opposite players if you tried to make two sort of players who play in vaguely similar positions have a different skill set. I mean, Werner turns the ball over constantly. His passing is really not creative. He's not particularly good 1v1, but he gets into great scoring positions. Yes, he's missed chances. I still think if he gets those sort of chances regularly, he will score. Obviously, it's a confidence issue in the finishing department. But Callum, so, so creative with his passing. Brilliant passing range. Can switch play from right to left or left to right, depending on which flank he is. Like Willian, he keeps the ball really well in tight spaces. Just, you know, twisting and turning, finding teammates, helping us get up the pitch into the final third. But he doesn't get into scoring positions. He doesn't score a great deal of goals. And if he's going to, it's mostly going to be from sort of like cutting in off the left and having shots as he did against West Brom, or I think it was against Krasnodar with the goalkeeping error from their keeper. That sort of running behind that he did away at Sevilla, it was away at Rennes, if I'm not mistaken, where he ran onto Mount's through ball. That sort of thing we need to see more of. But I couldn't really picture two more different players. And watching Callum against Villa, you could see just how more creative our attack was. And I think an issue is that we don't really have a lot of chemistry between players. I think what you mentioned with Pulisic, Mount and Chilwell is a really, really promising left flank. We saw against Wolves in the first 35 minutes, we were progressing the ball really well up that side. And for some reason, Lampard decided to switch Werner and Pulisic around, and both players just had pretty much the next hour really ineffective. I couldn't really understand that at all. I think Pulisic moved back to the left in like the 93rd minute for a couple of minutes, which was very strange. But I think on the right, James and Callum have shown quite good chemistry in their games together. So I think there's things to build there in the wide areas. It seems to be centrally that we don't really have that threat at the moment, so between the lines, because Havertz is obviously playing a slightly deeper role than usual. He said himself he prefers playing as a number 10, and short term that's probably going to get the best out of him, but I think you're building towards something using him in that 8 role, because within 6 months or something you're going to see, in my opinion, a player that can do that role very, very well. He's going to have height to even drop in and help us defend crosses. He can carry the ball forward, maybe shooting a bit more, cutting in, something he could work on. We know he's good at arriving and scoring positions when he sort of gets that level of fitness going again, having had no preseason and COVID. So I think with that, you're building towards something good with Havertz as an eight. Even if short term, it's maybe better just to stick him as a 10 and let him have all the freedom. The Werner issue is worrying because I don't think he suits playing as a lone number nine. He's never really done it. He turns the ball over all the time. So I don't see how playing him with pressure on his back is going to help that. As an actual winger, receiving and trying to do 1v1 actions, he's really poor in 1v1 situations. Obviously, he's had a couple of really nice assists, like at Newcastle where he cut inside, but that's really the rarity. We've seen, I think it was a Liverpool game where he had Fabinho isolated, couldn't beat him. He had that as well away at Wolves. He tried to take on players, kept losing those 1v1s. He's not really skillful. He's just kind of sort of put it past someone and get on the other side of them. For him, I think it's a two-striker formation is the only real way to get the best out of him, except if you're playing against a really high-line, kind of naive team that's allowing us to hit balls over the top. And in that case, you definitely need Ziyech to actually play those passes. But it is a concern because he's so reliant on that speed and getting into scoring positions. You do worry that if he lost any pace, if he got an injury and some of his pace went, that he'd really not have much in terms of his all-round skill set. So I really don't know how Lampard gets the best out of him short term. It seems like bringing him on as a striker against Villa was sort of like lip service or giving into the comments from the supporters. It just didn't make sense in that situation because our best route to a goal was from crossing from Chilwell, who was getting a lot of joy against Bertrand Traoré's tracking back. And as soon as you took off Giroud, you didn't have any box presence. So it is quite worrying how we're going to work things out going forward. Possibly the best situation is if possibly only next season, but when Giroud leaves and it's just Abraham and Werner possibly as striking options, that Werner plays a lot more as a nine naturally in that situation. And you can sort of pick and choose which spells in games suit having a speedy number nine that's going to run in behind and having someone who can link play and drop off like Tammy. But I think at the moment, if you want to put Werner into the striking pecking order, that's probably good for a wide play because Hudson-Odoi really is showing something. He's taking his chances of late scoring when he's been getting chances in the Champions League and doing well off the bench, coming on at halftime against West Brom and against Arsenal and doing well. But if you're going to put Werner into the number nine pecking order, at the moment he's third because Abraham and Giroud are scoring goals regularly. They bring quite different things. I think Tammy brings quite a lot of Giroud's good parts, but Giroud obviously brings that aerial threat, which Abraham doesn't really, but he has scored a number of headed goals, sort of not when being challenged, but in physical duels and so forth. He's not, on Giroud's level and that, in that way. There's so much to break down at the attack. I mean, Will's right as well, that we can't really press very well when Giroud starts as the nine. We can't really play on transitions because he can't run it behind and we sort of get ourselves pinned back into our own half without much of an outball. But he scores goals when he plays. The only problem is generally only he scores when he plays. So we can kind of set up the attack to service him, but the others aren't really getting the same benefits. You would hope that Pulisic could do that, the way Hazard got a lot of joy bouncing passes off Giroud and how Pulisic did in the FA Cup final, making that run inside and scoring. But you have to actually play him on the left then. So there's just so many things to break down with these two big stars. And I don't think you can criticise Lampard for having them on the bench on merit in the short term. But yes, whether Abramovich is going to be happy seeing players he shout out 100 million plus for is another question. Because he might look at it as being Lampard not able to get the best out of these players, even with all the context and things you have to put in, sort of understand about players adjusting to a new league and playing through a festive season when they're used to having a month mid-season break in Germany. So it is quite a concern for Lampard. Hopefully against Morecambe, we can play Havertz 10 and Werner 9. They can get some success and we can sort of change the PR angle a bit on that. But there's so much for Lampard to work through.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's a strange dynamic in the squad because Ziyech brings his own qualities anyway. But I think he's so important to enable the other players to thrive almost because he can inspire the others to sort of bring the best out of each other. I think you're right with the Werner from the left. He would help there. if you play Giroud through the middle, I think you could see a scenario where if Werner wasn't playing from the left and it was Pulisic. You've then got the Hazard similarity. You've also got Ziyech able to find Giroud into his chest. You could then see a situation where if Havertz is playing at the eight, he could then get much closer to Giroud and rely on the service from Ziyech from the right. So I think in his own right, he's an outstanding top-class player, Ziyech, but I just think he enables so many other patterns of play to work when he does play. And without him, you're almost stuck a little bit because Mason in the as an eight is obviously tremendous, brings a very different combination of qualities. I think Kovacic, because he's so good at spinning around, playing one-twos, I just think you need someone with a bit more guile, someone to get on the ball and to see the holes, to see the movement. Maybe Billy Gilmore is somebody that can add that slightly different look to the team, which I think Ziyech is pretty much one of the only players who can do that. So I think you're right, Grant. I think Morecambe needs to be a complete experiment. I'd like to see Gilmore coming in. And I just think when these players are coming back and Ziyech could be fit for City, I think Reece James is back, and then it's pretty much a fully fit squad. So I think that will certainly help Lampard look at a couple of different patterns of play and where he sees the team like evolving a little bit, because at the moment he's been forced into big decisions on Werner and Havertz, but there's a lot of reliance on, say, Pulisic picking up the ball and creating something. And I think he's almost exasperated a little bit himself. You could see he's trying to do a lot of it himself. And I think that's just not a good look. But Will, on that shape, how do you see the most likely shape to sort of dig this team out of this rut of results? And then finally on Lampard, I mean, we've briefly touched it, but we've sort of dug into the issues around his future. What does he need moving forward, and how alarming is the situation from a personal perspective for himself?
With the team shape, I still think 4-3-3 gets the best from the vast majority of the squad. I think these calls to go to kind of 4-4-2 and play Werner in his position, I mean, I just think that sort of system of 4-2-2-2, it, the only person that really gets the best from is Werner. I don't think that suits anyone else in the squad, really. I don't think we've really got the midfield players to play a two. We saw real issues with that when Frank was sort of persisting with that double pivot that didn't really, you know, make sense. It was kind of a half double pivot and then it would half move to a three. I didn't like that at all. I think we've seen Mason Mount's been excellent. It's definitely his best position in a 4-3-3. I think Kante at this stage of his career in that role is probably far more sensible to play him in that role, to preserve him for a few more years, and he can do it really well. I think it's a good position for Havertz. I think he's always had a kind of bias for that sort of area of the pitch, that kind of half space. And I think the main problem with Havertz when he was playing before he got COVID is he was coming too deep to receive the ball and turning it over in dangerous areas. I think we've seen that Mason Mount is excellent when he does that, when he drops off. He's great at punching passes through the lines, getting it towards the edge of the box or releasing players, the fullbacks on the overlap like Chilwell. So we don't really need Havertz to come that deep when Mount's playing, when Kante can progress the ball as well. So I'd like to see Havertz sort of take up a higher starting position, more like a 10 when we're building up, become more of a target for crosses as opposed to coming to link the play really deep and then finding it hard to then arrive, you know, once he's progressed the play or he's turned the ball over in a dangerous area. It's fine. You kind of settle for him turning the ball over, you know, on the edge of the opposition's box or inside the opposition's box. So I think that's a good position for him. And I think he can dovetail nicely with Ziyech when he's back. We've also got the option of Callum playing that right wing role completely differently to Ziyech and stretching it and allowing James to sort of come into that space that he's probably prefers to deliver the ball slightly more narrow. And Callum can play either side really well. You know, I think out of all of the wingers we've got, he's probably the best at playing as a outside winger on the right, better than Pulisic does it. And we know his preferred role is on the left. So I think once these players start coming back, it will help Frank. Once Ziyech starts coming back, once Havertz comes back to full fitness and starts to adjust and acclimatise a little bit more, I think that will massively help. And I think we saw Kovacic actually perform well at Burnley in that role, playing a little bit more advanced, getting in the box. And I think a lot of that was down to the fact that he could combine with Ziyech, he could combine with James. So we just need... I think we just need some personnel back, a few more options. And I think in terms of Werner, I think it's a case of he has to now play his way back into confidence. I don't think we should start changing the system completely just to fit Werner, because that would make no sense given the kind of current form he's in. I mean, that why would you change the system for someone who's playing that badly? I think, you know, you can kind of build your system around a player who's banging form and that would make more sense. But I think it's better to take him out, introduce him late in games when the game's a bit stretched. Hope that he starts to nick a few goals towards the end of games and rebuild from there. And then we can kind of, you know, figure out exactly what we want to do with him, what's his best role. He will get better in terms of, you know, holding the ball up back to goal. And, he might become, like Grant said, an option up front, completely different option to someone like Tammy, completely different option, someone like Giroud. But for me, as a wide player, kind of coming off to join in, he's just too much of a risk at the moment. So, I think you've got to take him out and let him just rebuild off the bench.
Yeah, I think you make some good points, Will, about the shape. I think that leads nicely into a final discussion on Lampard, our own reservations, our confidence in whether he can turn this around. I think you automatically compare him to a lot of the managers which were hired at a similar time to him. You look at Manchester United going second in the league last night. I think you see Solskjaer's turned it round. They're unbeaten in five. I think they're really looking up right now. I mean, Arteta obviously has had a massive struggle this season, and to lose to that Arsenal team was a real blow. But Grant, what do you think about his sort of medium-term future? And do you have confidence that he can turn this around? And if you do, what do you think are the main thing he needs to do, the main decision he needs to make, and how hard do you think that decision will need to be?
I mean, we can see some pressure boiling on Lampard, at least in the social media spheres. We don't really know what they're thinking at board level. I can't imagine there's actual pressure at this stage. We went top after we beat Leeds earlier this month. So I think it's ridiculous after 15 games to expect all this £200 million worth of talent to sort of just be integrated perfectly already. Obviously, with the fixture list, there are some games coming up that we can turn things around. I think it'll be a bit of luck if we can get the City game, or if the City game is postponed. It's looking increasingly likely that will happen, because then we don't play again in the league until the 15th of January. Assuming that's when the league does resume, or when fixtures sort of resume. And that gives you a chance just to give players a slight break. The thing about Lampard is a weird one. I saw someone say, that people sort of lump Arteta, Solskjaer and him together. They're all relatively inexperienced, former players at those clubs, but they're competing with Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp. I mean, unless they are really elite managers, they're probably not going to win the league while those two are still in England. So there's one argument that unless you get someone who's just at the top of their game, an elite coach, that you're not going to compete with those two teams really. And there's another argument that while those two are there, you're better off building a good side and being ready to have a sustained period of success when those two do leave. I think we all like to say this, but I think I've been relatively fair on Lampard. Like, there's been plenty of stuff to criticize him for. Some things I've put together, like a list of his mistakes. And I've also got a little document about the way our performances have sort of been when we've had full weeks of training, based on the fact that we always look very, very sluggish after having a full week to prepare. We always have muscle injuries within those games. We've had really poor results. There's plenty of mistakes he's made. I mean, the great thing about doing this part is that we sort of have a record of our own, of our views as they went along, instead of sort of remembering things differently or changing the narrative slightly based on recent events. For example, the early season things of playing Mount and Havertz as two wide players, that didn't work particularly well. And we probably had a slightly worse start to the season than we could have had if we'd played with genuine width at that time. Of course, last season we had numerous errors, even from the West Ham home game, playing Pedro and Giroud after they hadn't played for several months each, and we lost that match. Not playing Giroud for the first half of the season at all, and then seeing how well he played later on. There's a lot of these sort of examples of mistakes, even his faith in Kepa and Jorginho and Christensen and Emerson for probably much longer than they actually deserved. All of this I take into the context myself, that he's a young coach, yes, in his third year of management, and you have to consider him to still be developing, especially the type of person he is and the mentality he had as a player. You would imagine that he's not going to be resting on his laurels and thinking he's the finished product that doesn't need to improve. I think there is probably some elements of that he doesn't seem to sort of correct his mistakes or take blame for them himself. That is slightly worrying. But I think if he was a coach similar to, let's say, Sarri, who'd been sort of working for 20 years in a similar way and had really found a philosophy that he wasn't going to change for anything, then I'd be a lot more worried in the current situation, because I don't think he would try inventive things to actually find a way out of it. And I think generally Lampard has been quite adaptable in his, generally in the systems he's used. He's changed players a lot. People will say he has favorites, but I think it's rubbish. I mean, the fact that Mount and Abraham play is because they have been playing really well and they give a lot to the team that others don't. People say, you know, English bias or other nonsense. There's no reason for a coach generally to do that unless that player is really going to implement their playing style the way Jorginho and Sarri had that relationship. So I am certainly pretty Lampard in terms of, you know, this Lampard in, Lampard out nonsense, which I think is premature, because I think there's a lot of room for him to grow, and that comes from him being a young coach and having relatively easy solutions to some of the mistakes he's made. But I do think, as I said earlier in the season, he needs to be a lot more ruthless. There are certain players in the squad that he keeps going back to when things get tough. Jorginho is one of them. You know, he came on against Arsenal. He did okay. He sort of lifted the intensity of our performance a bit. He cajoled the players around him. But we've seen in his recent games that for what we need from our holding player, he's not the solution. And Lampard keeping, you know, going back to him over and over again, just, I think it shows a bit of weakness or not being able to see clearly what he needs, and that is a problem. Christensen as well, and I've obviously criticized a lot because we just don't get good results when he plays. We never keep clean sheets. And yes, all our defenders are error prone, at least let's say Thiago Silva's side, but in general, all our defenders have been error prone, but they've also been able to play really well on occasion, put together runs of clean sheets, unbeaten runs, wins, and that hasn't happened with Christensen. And still we go back to him in really important matches like the Villa game. And so I think if we can just get a slightly more ruthless streak, possibly just say, you know what, in January, we're going to cut the cord and get a couple of these guys off the, you know, out of the squad and give more chances to guys like Gilmore, have a much higher ceiling, and sort of start working towards a squad that doesn't have these glaring weaknesses, then I think, yeah, he can turn this around. And I think also if we look at January, we have a decent fixture list. Let's assume the City game gets postponed, because that does look the more likely situation. We have Morecambe at home, Fulham away, Leicester away, and then we have Wolves and Burnley at home before we play Spurs away. So that means a long run of games in London, no travelling, a couple of winnable games, and hopefully we can go into that Spurs game in reasonably good form and things can look a lot more rosy. So, look, I'm still optimistic. That doesn't mean I wasn't absolutely murderous after the Arsenal game or quite despondent after the Villa game. But it's just the emotions of being a fan. I think if you look at it rationally, there's plenty to be positive about. We have pretty much a full strength squad at the moment. We haven't got a lot of injuries. We have guys just maybe a week or two away from being fully fit again, like James and Ziyech, as well mentioned. And I think the solutions are pretty easy to find. If you play Pulisic on the left, you go with Abraham a bit more often as a nine to give us more pressing and all-round ability to bring us into the game. You've got Ziyech and Hudson-Odoi to play on the right. That looks good. Finding the solution on as the third midfielder is one he has to sort out. But our back line's pretty settled. I think it's obvious what our best defense is. Even at right back now, there's not a great deal of debate because of James had such a great season. So I'm pretty optimistic, but it is based on the fact that Lampard's going to improve and grow as a coach, and he's not the finished product, just like the young players aren't. And that's what I'm basing it on.
Yeah, I think you mentioned one point which I totally agree with, and I think it has to be part of the bigger picture in terms of really you'd need lightning in a bottle to topple Liverpool this season. We've seen that even with their own problems, they are a cut above, and when they're on it, nobody can touch them, in my opinion. So you want to prepare and you want to put the pieces together so that from the end of next season, perhaps, you start to see the start of them sort of fading a little bit and maybe needing to either upgrade certain parts of the team. You might see Salah or Mane leaving. And I think perhaps Klopp might start to get a little bit itchy and look to maybe that next challenge for himself. So I think you've got to look at the bigger picture with Pep and Klopp. And I think this team, as far as assessing Lampard's his development, his progression with the team, I think you're right. I think you've got to look at this season as one of those where Manchester United might be slightly more ready to sort of get a little bit closer to those big two. But overall, I don't think that matters, especially because provided they can still finish in that top four, I think you can be reasonably patient. You can bottle up the Champions League knockout stages as experience. This is a young team that they're naturally going to develop with or without Lampard. So I think you can be patient. The only slight worry, the slight concern would be in 2 months if teams like Everton, teams like Leicester have started to build up a small lead, whether Tottenham and their perhaps more risk-free sort of setup and the way that they can probably squeeze out points on a more consistent basis with Kane and Son under Mourinho. If all those teams are starting to sort of move away from Chelsea, I could definitely see Lampard's position being under threat, because this team has to qualify for the Champions League next season just to keep the momentum going and to ensure that these last couple windows, or certainly this last summer, that they are productive and that they can pay dividends in bridging the gap between a Champions League side and a title contender. So I think you're right. I think it's very important the next week or so, whether City is on or not, to sort of just pick up a win against Fulham and at least a draw at Leicester. And then you start to build. You're right. It's not a bad run of form. Tottenham away is obviously a massive game and a risky game that could provide a setback just at a horrible time of year, given the Champions League knockout stage against Atletico Madrid. And probably there could be even more congestion in the fixtures if there is any sort of flare-up in the COVID situation and more games get put back. And you might look at three games in 7-8 days. So, yeah, after that Tottenham game, you've got Sheffield United away, you've got Newcastle at home, Southampton away, leading up to that first leg against Atleti. So it's not easy these next 6 weeks, but there's definitely an opportunity there, in my opinion, to start just sort of treading water a little bit, keep in touch, and then finish stronger as these, I wouldn't say the dilemmas, as these teasers for Lampard in terms of the shape and the selection, as they sort of work themselves out, as these players like Havertz post-COVID, as Werner and his transition and settling into life in the Premier League, perhaps he can show us a little bit more. As all these players start to personally develop, I think Chelsea, I mean, maybe it's naive, but I think they have the upside more so than pretty much any team that is going to challenge or is going to try and get closer to Liverpool. I think there's the ingredients there to really sort of finish strong as the season develops. So I have optimism then as well, Grant. And how about you, Will?
I think it's always going to be the same thing for Chelsea managers. It's all about the top four. That's how you maintain your job. If Frank starts to drift too far away from that, and we start to see, because of how tight the table is now, you know, if our form remains, you know, you know, patchy, or you know, we're still losing games and we start to drift from the likes of Aston Villa, Wolves, Everton, Leicester. There's a lot of teams. So if you start to fall too far behind them and it looks like top four's at risk, he'll go. You know, he knows that. It's always been the same thing for all Chelsea managers. And if it looks tight and we're jostling for the top four and we don't get it at the end of the season, he'll probably go as well. I mean, that's always kind of been how it's worked. But it can change so quickly. The way the table is at the moment, I mean, even the teams that are kind of top of the form table, there's draws either side of a lot of those wins. There's not too many teams that have strung a lot of wins together. I think Everton have lately, but, you know, Liverpool have been drawing a lot of games. Man United have been drawing games. And I think you string together back-to-back wins, all of a sudden everything's looking way more rosier. I mean, you just have to look at Arsenal, who were in a relegation fight and they've won two games and they're 6 points off us. So it can change quickly, and I think we can take a lot from how we were performing really not too long ago. I mean, yeah, just the start of this month. Before we started to lose some personnel, I think Ziyech missing was a you know, a big negative to the way that we were playing on that right-hand side. James picking up an injury. Even Havertz, who I thought was showing real positive signs and signs of like growing into the league and the role, getting COVID. And like we said, I think coming away from Tammy as the centre forward was detrimental to our style of play and a lot of the positives we were seeing about a month ago. So based on the fact that, you know, I think we could see, and I don't think we were getting a carried away during that period because it looked like a really good side that could do a little bit of everything, that could press high, that could wear teams down, that was impossible to defend against because you had loads coming from the right, loads coming from the left. We looked secure in transitions and snuffing teams out with Kante protecting what looked like a real settled centre-back partnership. So based on the fact that what we saw there, I mean, I think we can get back to that. I think, you know, my main criticism of Lampard was, you know, things like maybe putting too much emphasis on training performances when picking the team, rotating the centre-backs. But I think that's kind of started to fade away now. And I'm happy, you know, I think we're obviously going to, you know, would like to see more leeway given to Frank just because of, you know, what he means to the club and, you know, what he means to me as a supporter. So I'm happy to see him continue to learn, you know, based on what we were showing before we were disrupted by injuries. So I think it will be interesting to see if we can do anything in January. I think the fact that we've recently had to fall back on playing Jorginho, or we haven't had to play Jorginho, I think Gilmore was an option that I think a lot of fans would have liked to see instead of Jorginho, and Christensen recently. I mean, these guys are not bad players. I just think they're hugely unsuited to the Premier League. I think Christensen was kind of summed up the other night. You know, he probably was fouled, but get up, get in the box and compete, head the ball away. I mean, it, you know, lying on the floor and just waiting for it to unfold is just, you know, it's quite typical of him. I just think he's not cut out for the physical side of the league, that how much defending you have to do as a centre back in your own box. And Jorginho is, I think he's got a great attitude and, you know, he can show some quality kind of bouncing passes off one touch in the build up and things like that. But he's just physically not good enough to play in this league. I think that these are two decent players, good players in another context. So it will be interesting. I think if we were able to bring in someone like Rice, it means that you're not those two players at both positions that Rice can play. So you're not having to play them and kind of try and get buy-in games when you know that they're both prone to making mistakes and errors that can cost you a game. So I think someone like Rice coming in would be a huge boost. I'm a big fan of Rice, and obviously his versatility I think is key as well. I don't think we'll, unless we can raise the money for him, but I don't think we'll be getting him. I think it's a case of, I don't think Frank's going to be given 60 million to spend on him. It'll depend on who we can shift, who we can get off the wage bill, what money we can raise to then spend on him, but probably one more for the end of the season. But someone like that would help massively, I think, you know, in the new year, because, you know, like I said, it means that we we can start to move away from some of these players that have been just not good enough for where we're trying to go. I don't think, you know, I just don't think they're of the level, and they're just not suited to the league, quite frankly.
Yeah, and you see a lot, there's quite a lot on Twitter about like, oh, you know, should have kept Sarri, or comparing to what he did in his final season of finishing third and winning the Europa League. But for, like, my response to that is, what Sarri did that season was probably the best it was ever going to get for Sarri. I don't think there was any chance for him to become a title challenger and do something in the Champions League. Personally, I don't believe that to be the case. But you do feel with Lampard that there is some potential there, that if he can correct some of these mistakes and get the squad right, that we can be title challengers maybe next season or relatively soon. And even in the Champions League, I don't think we're a million miles away from having the sort of side that can get through knockout ties with the experience of Thiago Silva, as we saw in the, you know, the Sevilla and the Spurs and the United games, how we kept clean sheets. So I think there's just more to be, there's more upside with a young coach who's building a squad that's got young players who are worth a huge amount of money now. And that wouldn't have been the case with Sarri. We would have bought like older players, not, you know, 21 and 23 and 24 and 26 and 27 year olds like we have done with in the previous window. So there's a lot to be optimistic about, but that shouldn't mean that like we don't hold Lampard accountable for the errors he's making. And you can do that without putting pictures of, you know, fat Frank Lampard on Twitter or your stupid crosses through people's faces. I really don't understand how that can become a thing practically with any coach, but especially with one who's the greatest player that's played for your club. And that is the leeway you give him, is like not to be complete dick about it and just try and judge objectively.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way to wrap it up. I think we've really enjoyed that, sort of getting back on and discussing all the issues surrounding the club right now. I think it's been good to get off our chests, and I think there's plenty more to dive into, and hopefully we can get back on in the next few days, next week or so. And we've also wanted to mention that we've all had messages of support on Twitter at Palpable Pod. It's been really appreciated. It's good to know that some of you enjoy listening, and we really appreciate you spreading the word to other Chelsea fans. And anything you'd like to hear on the podcast, topics to discuss, do feel free to get in touch, like I said, at Palpable Pod. But for now, we'll leave it there, and we'll be back, hopefully, like I said, in a few days when we know a little bit more about the Man City game and the schedule that will develop in the next few weeks into January. So I've been your host, Jack Rathbone. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back soon.